People love to quote Mark Twain. Here's a favorite. Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. The only problem is that Mark Twain never said that. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, will be here. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language and blogs at grammarphobia.com. I think we can all agree that Mark Twain, Winston Churchill, Dorothy Parker, they all said and wrote some witty things in their day, but they're also among the most misquoted figures in history. Today, we'll talk about quote magnets, our favorite people to quote and misquote. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. People love to share their favorite quotes. Sometimes they're funny, they're often inspiring, and there's a handful of individuals that get quoted more than anyone else, especially on the internet, even though many of the quotes attributed to these individuals are not real. This hour, our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here. She is the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com, and we're going to talk about quote magnets. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, all right, quote magnets is a phrase that you used. Can you give me a definition? What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, actually, it's not my term. It was invented by Fred Shapiro, who is a librarian at Yale University and author of the Yale Book of Quotations. And he used the term, actually, quotation magnet, to describe people who are often credited with saying things they never said. Now, whenever anything catchy or folksy comes down the pike, quite often it just pops up on the internet and nobody really knows where it comes from. But the public hates a vacuum, you know, so people tend to attribute it to, they like to say, oh yeah, Einstein said that, or Mark Twain. In fact, Mark Twain is probably America's biggest quote magnet. He, along with Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Dorothy Parker is a good one, George Bernard Shaw, or Oscar Wilde. Sometimes Einstein or Yogi Berra. Those are the big pantheon of fake quote.
Funny. What about like Gandhi and Thoreau? Are they in there too?
They're probably in there too, although less often. Although I just came across one this morning that was attributed to Gandhi. I can't remember what it is, but it seemed highly I know what it was. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Somehow that doesn't sound like Gandhi to me.
No.
I haven't actually verified whether it's that it's not Gandhi, but I would, if I were a betting person, I would put money on it's not being him. Sometimes you can just tell. You
know? Right. So when you see a quote and that sort of authentic bell goes off in your head, you think, I'm not so sure. How do you check it?
Well, the only way you can really check is to do the research yourself. Track the quote back to its earliest beginnings. And it's not easy because you have to use variations of it. So you use little snatches of the quote in combination with other snatches, and you track it back to its beginnings. And sometimes you can find that these things have been around since the 1400s or the 1800s. So chances are they weren't said by Churchill. So that's basically the way you do it. Or conversely, you can sometimes find that this did not appear in print until 1990, so it probably was not said by Abraham Lincoln, because it wouldn't show up out of the blue, you know, 130 years after he died. So that's another way. But you have to do the research, and there are also people out there who are doing this stuff. So you may not have to do it yourself. There's something called quote investigator on the internet that debunks a lot of early quotes. my husband and I have done a few too. We've talked about some of them on our blog and in our book, Origins of the Species. So we've done some of the legwork. People are going to call in with all kinds of quotes, and I won't know the answer. But I can talk about some of the highlights, commonly misattributed quotes.
All right. Well, and can we start with Mark Twain? Because I think that he is probably the person.
Probably the biggest.
Right. And because he did say so many things and so many funny things.
Well, he did. And he was very, very witty. And people who are known to be wits, and if they're famous, often an anonymous quote will get pinned on them. For example, Twain is often credited with saying, "Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." Well, no, he didn't say that. The earliest published references showed up in the 1960s. It was an anonymous government researcher who said it in some government publication. But later it was attributed to Satchel Paige and at one point to Muhammad Ali and also Twain. So they couldn't all three say it.
Probably
that's another,
not.
That's another reason to be suspicious. If you check out a quote and it's attributed to more than one person, probably neither one of them said it.
Interesting.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Well, and I wonder if, just from what I know about Mark Twain, I have the feeling that if someone gave him credit for saying something really clever, even if he didn't say it, that he may have accepted credit.
He might have. Churchill, for instance, didn't say some of the things that he's quoted as saying, but when he was still alive and was asked about them, he would say, "No, but I wish I had. That's a good one." You know? But another thing Twain never said was, "It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt." Again, not Mark Twain. It first showed up in a 1906 book of nonsense verse.
It's another good one, though.
Yeah, and since he was a cigar smoker, there are some smoking quotes attributed to him. He never said, "Giving up smoking is the easiest thing in the world. I know because I've done it 1,000 times. Well, that's not Twain either. This joke was originally about drinking, and it's been attributed to W.C. Fields, among others. Twain never said, "I've never let my schooling interfere with my education." This was a hard one to check out because it did pop up in the 19th century, but it wasn't from Twain. It was from an essayist who is not really famous for doing anything. The same with "never put off until tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow." Twain didn't say that. Similar lines without "the day after tomorrow" go back to the 14th century, long time ago. And Twain did not say, "If you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything." We researched that we couldn't find any evidence that Twain did say it, but we did come close. He did say in 1897, "When in doubt, tell the truth," which is actually a better quote.
It is a better quote, although maybe not as snappy. I don't know. You know, we have a couple people who have Mark Twain quotes or misquotes that they want to share. So let's get to the phones. And you're welcome to join in on this conversation with your favorite misattributed quote or with the one that you just love. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Peter's on the line in West Des Moines. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, one of my favorite quotes, because I'm in the men's clothing business that Mark Twain had, was "Clothing makes the man." But there's a second part to the quote, which nobody says, which is, "Naked people get little to no respect in society."
Oh.
It's very clever. And do you know it's Twain?
Yeah, it was Twain.
Well, let me
Nobody says that. So when I talk to people, you know, being in the clothing business, I talk to them, I said, you know, clothing makes man, which is really, clothing makes people. You know, you garner more respect when you dress up and people see you. Maybe that's not fair, but it is a reality in our society. But there's always that second part, which gets the laugh. That's
right.
Make it people have little or no influence. Well, actually, I'm finding this one. Let me see.
So, Peter, does it make you feel good to feel like Mark Twain has your back since you're in the clothing business?
Okay, I found something about that.
In the pen business.
Okay. Quote, there's been no actual evidence of this found in Twain's writings. It did appear in a 1927 book written by Merle Johnson and privately printed, and it was More Maxims of Mark, supposedly Mark Twain Maxims. Only 50 editions were published, or 50 copies were published, so it's hard to find that work. Let's see. It's present in that book, but he doesn't actually, in the Johnson book, he was a rare book collector. He doesn't actually say where Twain said that.
Interesting.
So, actually, here's one that was published in Mark Twain's notebook. He said, strip the human race absolutely naked and it would be a real democracy. But the introduction of even a bag of tiger skin or a cow tail could make a badge of distinction and be the beginning of a monarchy. So, I'm seeing some similar things that he said about the power of clothes. There's no power without clothes. It's the power that governs the human race. Strip its chiefs to the skin, and no state could be governed. Naked officials could exercise no authority. They would look and be like everybody else, commonplace, inconsequential. So
it was definitely a theme that he liked.
It's a theme that he liked. So
and
I don't know that he actually said it.
Break it down. If you sort of break it down to a very simple phrase, you know, clothing makes the man.
Right.
Seems like a logical thing that he would do.
Right.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for calling in. You're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We have this from Dave in Grinnell. He says, I love the topic. I see so many misattributed quotes on social media. I love quote investigator. My faves, golf is a good walk ruined, sometimes quoted as spoiled and occasionally appended with by a small white ball. The most common sources I've seen are Mark Twain and Winston Churchill. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Patricia O'Connor is my guest today. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And again, you are welcome to join the conversation with your favorite quotes or misquotes. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me today is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She's the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And we are talking about quotes and misquotes today. People who are quotation magnets like Mark Twain, Winston Churchill, Dorothy Parker, Oscar Wilde, and many others. You are welcome to join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Pat, here's another quote from Dave in Grinnell. He says, germane to the current political season, if voting made any difference, it would never be allowed or would be illegal. Also frequently attributed to Mark Twain, but he's also seen it attributed to Will Rogers and Lucy Parsons, who was an anarchist.
Well, actually, Dave in Grinnell was right that neither Twain nor Churchill said golf is a good walk spoiled. It was people we've never heard of named the Allens, friends of a golfer who made the comment while playing. They said, to play golf is to spoil an otherwise enjoyable walk. And it was 1903. yeah, but as I said before, if a quote is attributed to more than one person, neither one of them said it.
Just a good
rule of thumb.
Rule of thumb. All right. Oh my gosh. We talked about Mark Twain being a quotation magnet, and there are a lot of people on the line who want to talk about possible Mark Twain quotes.
Yeah.
James is on the line in Mason City. Hi, James.
Hello there.
Hi. What's your Mark Twain possible quote?
Yeah, it's a good one, whether it's from Mark Twain or not. That's who it's attributed to. And he supposedly said diapers and politicians should be changed frequently and for the same reasons.
No, that's not a Twain.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Yeah.
You can tell the term limits people had that one in mind. But if Twain is the biggest American quote magnet, Churchill is definitely the biggest British magnet. And this quote comes up all the time in my line of work. I hear it so often, and I get almost tired of having to correct it. But there's an old story that when someone wanted to change one of Churchill's sentences because it ended in a preposition, that he said, "This is the sort of English up with which I will not put." That's apocryphal. He never said it.
But it's clever.
It's clever. My husband and I wrote that one on our blog and in our book. We traced it back to, again, an anonymous bureaucrat in the British government. And his quote got pinned on Churchill because he wasn't well known enough, I think. And that happens if you're like the Allens on the golf course, or if you're like this bureaucrat, your good quote is going to get credited to somebody else. So,
well, which in a way is kind of a compliment.
It is a compliment. It is a compliment. Now, Churchill also was not part of this. Another common quotation that's attributed to him. There's a story that he was having dinner with Lady Astor, and she said, "If I were married to you, I'd put poison in your coffee." And that he replied, "If I were married to you, I'd drink it." It supposedly took place in the 1920s, but it's been traced to a joke book from a 1900. From a joke that was printed in the Chicago Tribune in 1900. So that's another one we can mark not attributed to Churchill. But sometimes, you know, a famous person will repeat a phrase and popularize it, even though he didn't originate the phrase. And that's the case with Iron Curtain. The phrase Iron Curtain, it's often attributed to Churchill as a coinage. But actually, he didn't coin it. It was first appeared in a book by Ethel Snowden, an English woman who was writing about the Soviet Union. Anyway, she said, "We were behind the Iron Curtain at last," and she put quotes around it. Churchill didn't come up with the phrase, but he did use it in some of his speeches.
And he recognized a very powerful image when he heard one.
Yes. Oh, yes. He knew a good metaphor when he saw one. So he popularized it. And he also never said that Britain and the United States were, quote, two nations divided by a common language. Now, this is also attributed to George Bernard Shaw and to Oscar Wilde. But none of them ever said it, although Shaw and Wilde made similar wisecracks, but not that one.
Well, it's another good one.
Yes. Shaw is such a good quote magnet that Nigel Rees, who compiled the Brewer's famous quotations, once joked, "When in doubt, attribute all quotations to George Bernard Shaw."
Which obviously a lot of people have taken to heart.
Yes.
Jim in Dubuque has a Winston Churchill quote. Hi, Jim.
Howdy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. What's your Winston Churchill?
"We sleep in our beds safe at night because rough men stand ready to do violence on our part."
I don't know whether he said that or not.
It sounds like him.
Yes.
Well, I've seen it attributed to several people. I have no doubt that at one point he did say it, but I don't think he was the original.
Well, you know, he made all those stirring speeches in the 1940s about blood, toil, tears, and sweat, and fighting them on the beaches and the what all. So he was a very eloquent man. So he may have said something about sleeping safer at night, knowing that their boys were over there holding off Hitler and whatnot. But he may have said something very much like that, in other words.
But as you said, it's but you've seen it attributed to a number of different people. I just looked it up, and it's commonly misattributed to George Orwell and Winston Churchill. And the actual source, this source says, was from 1993.
Oh, yeah.
A Washington Times essay by Richard Greiner. So it's lovely, a lovely turn of phrase.
But who wants to pin it on Richard Greiner?
Right. Well,
nobody knows his name.
And Richard Greiner probably feels flattered that he said something so clever that people think Winston Churchill said it.
You know, we can't leave out Abraham Lincoln, though, because he's a terrific quote magnet. So many things are attributed to Lincoln because if they're at all folksy or they sound like proverbs, they're attributed to Lincoln. For instance, for many years, I thought Lincoln had coined the saying, people who like this sort of thing will find it the sort of thing they like. Well, he didn't say it.
The language sounds a little modern.
Yeah, it does sound modern. And he also never said one of my all-time favorite quotations, and your producers have told me it's okay to say this.
All right.
On public radio. He never said, there are more horses' asses in the world than horses. I thought for a long time it was a Lincoln quote. But when I checked it out, I found it attributed many times to G. Gordon Liddy of Watergate fame. But in fact, the earliest example anyone has found is from 1952 in a book written by Maurice Zolotow, who was a Hollywood biographer of a lot of people. And one of the profiles he once wrote, and he probably wrote this in the 40s, and it was collected in this collection in 1952. One of his profiles was of a famous racetrack tout called Feedbox Jack. And he said that one of the favorite aphorisms going around the track was, there are more horses' asses than horses at a track. So I think it got widened. It jumped the bounds of the racecourse and it became general and later was attributed to Lincoln.
Very interesting. We have a number of other people who have not Lincoln quotes, but here's another Winston Churchill quote from Jim in Guttenberg. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I was just wondering, I thought Winston Churchill, or I heard he was attributed with, be careful who you choose for your enemy, for you will become like them. And then also Mark Twain, lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Oh, the stick.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
The statistics one isn't Twain. Let me. Isn't Twain or Lincoln?
But he did say something along those lines.
Yeah, I think so. Wait, I'm just checking this out. See, I knew this would happen. Quotes would come up that I hadn't checked out. Lies, more lies, and statistics. No, I can't find it.
All right. Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
It's also a very good
one. I can't tell you.
Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Maybe not.
Jamie is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Jamie.
Oh, I'm here.
Hi. What's your quote?
My quote is, get your facts, or first get your facts, then you can distort them as much as you want, wish.
And that one's attributed to Mark Twain.
It is.
It sounds like
one of my most favorite Mark Twain quotes.
Sounds like him.
Yes.
All right.
I found it on a magnet when I was in Hannibal.
I'm sure they fact-checked in Hannibal, right?
Yes.
Of all places, they should know.
All right. Well, that's a good one, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there's a very famous Dorothy Parker quip that I would like to debunk, because Dorothy Parker is another one of those people. She was so witty and part of the Algonquin Round Table, and she was so smart that anything really witty and clever that that isn't immediately attributable to somebody else gets pinned on her. And one that she's very famous for saying is, "I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy," which sounds good because she was a, you know, she was she did a lot on wordplay.
Right.
Well, it was actually Tom Waits. Tom Waits.
Someone else very, very talented with wordplay.
Yeah. And she also is credited with referring to some drunken boar as a rhinestone in the rough. But she never said a rhinestone in the rough. That was from an O. Henry story published at the turn of the century when Parker was about 11 years old.
Huh. Interesting.
And another good one that a mythological quote, apparently someone told Parker, "I simply can't bear fools." She supposedly replied, "Apparently your mother did not have the same difficulty." This one was originally published in 1858, so it was around a lot earlier than she was.
Interesting. Yeah. Ron is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Ron.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to know, is there a video of your victory dance that you did last night when you hit 350,000?
There is no video, but we are incredibly grateful. So,
there's a quote that's been attributed to two people. I don't know if either one of them said it. It's "Outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend, but inside of a dog, it's too dark to read." Was that
that's usually
Mark Twain
attributed
or Groucho?
To Groucho Marx? I don't know if that was, let's see, I'm going to write down here.
And you know what, Ron? Not only have I seen that attributed to both of those people, but I've seen it printed on T-shirts and tote bags attributed to both of them.
Oh, great.
So not just on the internet, on cloth. So that bears a lot of weight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I've got it up here in Quote Investigator. It says, let's see. "The earliest attribution to Groucho occurred in 1974, but the quip is actually traced back to the 50s. The earliest known instance was as a joke in Boy's Life magazine in 1954. So there you go.
All right. Thank you.
Neither one of them.
It's very funny, though. Ron, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Sam is on the line in West Branch. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Either Yogi Bear did or didn't say this for all of those folks. I never said everything I said.
Well, actually, he did say that. He said, "I never said everything I said." In fact, that was the title of one of his books, or it was similar to the title of one of his books. But
it might hard to believe that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oddly, he did actually say a lot of the things he's credited with. There are some that he didn't, and there are some that he picked up that had already been around, but there are some that he actually did originate, and many of the famous ones. He did say, "It ain't over till it's over."
I like the one he supposedly said about the ballpark. It's so busy, no one ever goes there anymore.
Oh, yeah. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Actually, he didn't say that one. Barra's wife, Carmen, confirmed that Sapphire once said this about a popular restaurant, but he didn't provide any further details. And actually, it had appeared much earlier in The New Yorker, as far back as the 40s. So Barra probably said it because he heard it. But
yeah.
He said it, but he didn't originate it.
I also like JFK, whether he was quoting Shaw or who he was quoting, and then his brother quoted somebody on you know, one of his famous quotes, which he didn't quite attribute, but he didn't say he was saying it.
Do you remember it?
I can't remember what that. Do you remember what that one is about? Some people see things the way they are, or something, and ask why, and I say why not. You know, that's essentially shorthand.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of a variation on the "ask not" speech of JFK. So maybe it got attributed to JFK because of that "ask not" speech.
Interesting. Well, Sam, thank you so much for calling. And Yogi Berra, again, another quotation magnet, and he's aware of it.
Oh yeah, he was. When he died last September, there was a flurry of stories about all the things that he either said, didn't say, or said but did not originate. Bless his heart. What a nice man.
Absolutely.
I really thought he would be alive forever. But anyway, he did say this one, which I think is hilarious. He was being honored when he was still a rookie with the Yankees. He was being honored in his hometown of St. Louis, and at the ceremony, he said, "I want to thank everybody for making this day necessary," which I think is just hilarious. And he did say about baseball, 90% of the game is half mental. It's sometimes rendered as baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical.
That's great. Oh, here's one that I've seen floating around the internet a lot. This one's from Thomas in Des Moines. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln.
That's a genuine quote. Yes.
Right. Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Patricia O'Connor is my guest today. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about quotation magnates, people who get quoted all the time, whether those quotes are accurate or not. We've been talking a lot about Mark Twain, Winston Churchill, Dorothy Parker, George Bernard Shaw. With me is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And you are welcome to join our conversation with your favorite quotes or misquotes. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And David is on the line. And Marion, hi, David.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, what's yours?
Well, it's not really a quotation, but it comes from Ambrose Bierce's The Devil's Dictionary. And it reads, quotation, noun, the act of repeating erroneously the words of another.
That's great.
I thought a quotation about quotations might be illuminating or interesting.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's a great one, David. Thanks a lot for calling.
But I do have a little twister for you. Whether Mark Twain did not say, cauliflower is nothing but cabbage with a college education.
I don't know if he said it either. It doesn't sound like Twain, but it's a wonderful quote.
It is. It's lovely. Oh, David, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Vince on the line, on the road today. Hi, Vince.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your quote?
I've read that Abraham Lincoln was fond of asking people, like reporters, how many legs does a dog have if you call a tail a leg? And they would answer five. And he would correct them and say, no, it's still four. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Is that true?
I don't know. I've never read it. I've read a lot of Twain stuff. I've never read that.
That was a Lincoln, he said.
Oh, Lincoln. I don't know.
Correct.
I don't know.
There's a lot of wisdom there, regardless, Vince.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Ella in West Des Moines. Hi, Ella.
Hi. I've got a couple of favorite quotes, and I'm hoping they're real. I'm wondering if you can let me know.
I'll try.
Great. Thank you. The first one's from Dorothy Parker.
Uh-huh.
She says, the art of writing is the art of applying the ass to the seat. The other one's from – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I've seen that attributed to A.J. Liebling, something like that, applying butt to chair.
Okay.
But anyway, what's your other one?
Will Rogers, if stupidity got us into this mess, why can't it get us out?
I don't know. Oh, wait, here, I found the seat of the chair one. Let's see.
Oh.
Writing is the art of applying the seat of the pants to the seat of the chair. Let's see who did this.
Okay.
Okay, it was advice given by a writer to Sinclair Lewis in 1911, apparently. The writer was named Mary Heaton.
Again, it's good advice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Advice. And what was the second one?
Will Rogers.
Oh, yeah,
Will Rogers. Got us into this mess. Why can't it get us out?
Now, Will Rogers is a quotation magnet that we haven't really talked about. I feel like he kind of ebbs and flows. You see a lot of Will Rogers and then not quite as much.
Yeah, I can't find that stupidity quote. But, you know, Will Rogers was one of those people that he spoke in little clips. It's too bad he didn't live later, because he would have been all over he would have been on TV every night. He spoke in little 30-second or 10-second spurts.
And he would have sold a lot of those tiny books of pithy wisdom, you know?
Right. He spoke in proverbs. And I think he knew it. I think he did it deliberately. He was a very intelligent man. I think he spoke in proverbs. He knew he would be quoted endlessly. And I don't know if he said that, but it sounds like the kind of thing he would say.
Absolutely. Well, Ella,
he was alive in World War II, so it could be that, you know, who knows?
Thank you so much for your call. Let's see. Dick is on the line in Dubuque. Hi, Dick.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. You've got another Will Rogers for us, right?
Yeah, I do. One of my favorites is that Will Rogers said that he's not a member of an organized political party. He's I'm a Democrat. I get a kick out of that one. Yeah,
it is a funny one.
And one is Will Rogers, and the other one is Mark Twain. Yeah. Thank you.
No, thanks a lot for your call. That is a good one.
Mark Twain, as we know, was a Republican. so I doubt if he said that.
No, but that sure sounds like Will Rogers.
Oh, wait, did I say Mark Twain?
Yeah.
I meant Lincoln was a Republican. Sorry. Lincoln was a Republican.
All right.
I'm sure Mark Twain was a Democrat. I would guess.
We'll have to. That's a whole different show.
Yes, that's a different show.
All right. Now, David in Iowa City sent an email, and this is interesting, because this is somebody that I don't see quoted a lot, although he said a lot of really fascinating things. He says, regarding James Thurber, he originated many quotes in the 50s and 60s from his poetry. We don't hear much of him lately, but he was brilliant and hilarious. These are true things about James Thurber, but you don't see a lot of him.
No, you don't. And I'm not sure why.
Maybe that's when you do see James Thurber, maybe that means he really said it. But also he's recent enough that there's evidence that's easy to find, right?
It would be very easy to check out his attributions. So I don't know why he's not quoted more often.
When I was growing up and I would stay at my grandparents' house, they only had two books in the bedroom that I would stay in. And one was about baseball, and I'm not a baseball fan. The other was by James Thurber. So that's my James Thurber education. I read that book many times. All right. Chuck is on the line in Cooper. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Charity and Pat. Chuck Offenberger here.
Hi.
I'm a student of Iowa quotes. I'm doing good.
Good.
Good to hear your voice. But
I'm a
student of Iowa quotes, of course.
Uh-huh.
And so my question to you, and maybe this is going to get you in trouble, Pat, are there any of those, you know, essential, well-known quotes that are identified as Iowa quotes that are bogus?
Oh.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't
Chuck,
know.
I can think of one right away, and that's, of course, Iowa means a beautiful land, because that is not actually the original meaning of the word Iowa. So there's one right there.
But all the calls you've gotten about Twain makes me wonder, you know, didn't Samuel Clemens' newspaper in Muscatine? I think he was a newspaper man in Muscatine at one point. And he is quoted as saying, there is nothing like a Mississippi sunset, Mississippi River sunset.
Hmm.
You ever heard that?
I haven't, but I'm going to check it right now.
I hope it's true.
Yeah, it may not be in the quote.
The other great quote that comes to my mind is one from that's attributed to State Senator Jonathan Dolliver of Fort Dodge, who Dolliver State Park is named after him.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes way back in the early 1900s, but he was quoted as saying that Iowa will go Democrat the same year hell goes Methodist.
That if it's attributed to that guy, he probably said it. Because if somebody were making up the author of that quote, they'd credit it to Twain or to Ambrose Bierce or something.
Right. Well, the other thing is so few people were talking about Iowa. There's got to be more accuracy to quotes about the state, right?
Right.
Well, one would hope.
But of course,
the one I've heard coming out of Iowa that I just hope this is true is attributed to Grant Wood, our legendary artist, and he was quoted as saying, "All of the really good ideas I had came while milking a cow."
I've seen that one attributed to him, too. But you know what, Chuck? If I wanted to check the accuracy of quotes about Iowa, you're the person I would call. So,
yeah.
Oh, Charity, that's scary.
See, I think that should be a book by Chuck Offenberger. See,
well,
there you go. Call up your agent.
Okay, it's fun to listen in. And at any rate, you've stirred up a real hornet's nest there of interest in this. So everybody's got their favorites, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Chuck, thank you so much for calling.
Yes.
Yep, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Chuck.
Chuck Offenberger, of course, a former Iowa boy. And,
former colleague of mine at the Register.
And still writing. You should look up the stuff he's doing today. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is on the line in Bettendorf. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, what's yours?
Well, first of all, thanks. Charity, your voice, even on a bad day for me, your voice makes me feel better. I don't know what it is. You've got a great radio voice.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
But it's misquoted often that money is the root of all evil. And I don't know who the author of the actual saying is, but it's love of money is the root of all evil is the way I understood it.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an actual author. Even in a song,
it sounds almost biblical.
Right. It feels like it goes back to the beginning of time.
Probably, yeah.
I'm finding it. Isn't that funny?
Even the band Pink Floyd misquoted it in their song about money. So,
Well, and I am seeing biblical quotes from Timothy.
Okay.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. So
there it is.
Probably do a whole program on great biblical and Shakespearean quotations.
And the number of times biblical quotes and Shakespearean quotes are mixed up as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jeff.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. And enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot. And another Jeff is on the line in Ankeny. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Speaking of Shakespeare, you had a caller earlier that said attributed clothes make the man to Mark Twain, and I believe that is a Shakespeare.
Well, let me look this up.
Been a long time since I studied Shakespeare, but I believe it's from Hamlet, and I think Polonius is the one who said it, if I'm recalling correctly.
Well, I do see a lot of internet plays. Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. quote, investigator, clothes make the man. I was just here. I was just at this spot.
Well, and Shakespeare is a quotation magnet that we haven't talked much about, but often,
yeah,
you know.
He's often given credit for things that are in the Bible and vice versa.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jeff, we may not be able to lay this one to rest, but we'll check it out. And you're going to feel very, very smart if you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So,
thanks a lot for your call, Jeff. Next, let's go to Francis in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Francis.
Good morning. Supervisor I used to work with, he said the Greeks have a quote where they say, when you're young, let your money work for you. When you're young, work for your money. When you get old, let your money work for you. And another one in regards to what we also say in regards to money is that I heard that checks have one that goes, the faucet only has to drip a nickel, or a little at a time, you know, nickel, nickel, nickel.
Both of those sound...
I thought they were both in regards
both
to money.
Sound, they both sound kind of 20th century to me, just off the top of my head.
I had a Czech friend that gave me that one.
Mm-hmm.
That he always said that when he said that Czechs use that one where the faucet only has to drip a little at a time.
Uh-huh.
And I always liked that one about the Greeks where let your money work for your money when you're young. Work let your money work for you when you're old.
Yeah. Well, now what happens if you're old and you don't have any money?
That's another story.
Yeah, absolutely. Francis, thanks for your call. And Francis brings up an interesting question, Pat, because mm-hmm. so many of these quotes get attributed to so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think back on the proverbs that we share and the
uh-huh.
the sayings that have been around forever, somebody had to say one of those first. Does that make these modern proverbs?
Well, yeah. They could be, you could call them modern proverbs. And I'm glad you brought that up about proverbs because, Ben Franklin is also a terrific quote magnet. And part of the reason is his Poor Richard's Almanacs, which he wrote in the 1700s. He wrote them annually for a while. And those almanacs were collections of proverbs. They were not original works, but they were compendiums of old sayings. And everything that appears in the Poor Richard's Almanac these days, I mean, when people search and find Poor Richard's Almanac, they tend to attribute all those things to Franklin. So there are a lot of things in there, like he's always credited with saying, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. He didn't originate that saying. He reprinted it. It was actually printed in exactly that form in the 1630s.
So he was just circulating proverbs.
Circulating proverbs. And similar expressions date back to the late 1400s. So there are a lot of things that you'll find in Franklin that didn't originate with him.
Interesting. So maybe we need to start just leaving the names off of these great quotes.
Just call it Prov.
All right. Well, Patricia O'Connor, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And thank you very much to everybody who called. We didn't have time to get everybody on the air today, but we had a lot of fun. Patricia O'Connor is the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And before we run out of time, I do want to take a moment just to say thank you to everyone who contributed during our membership drive. You know, we tried a kind of grand experiment, and it really worked. Thank you so much if you were a part of the silent drive. Thank you if you gave yesterday during the louder part of the drive. And thank you if you are a member of Iowa Public Radio. We really can't do what we do here without you. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbie.